Education Podcast, where students and professionals give you their insight on pressing subjects shaping the educational field. This is your host, Sherlyn Barahona, and I'm going to be starting this series off with a topic that resonates with nearly every college student out there, mental health. In this episode, we will be specifically going over how college life can impact students' mental health, again, something that affects countless of students and has sparked important conversation about whether universities and faculties are doing enough to help students thrive. Thank you all for joining us today for this important conversation, and let's jump right in. For many, including myself, college is an exciting new chapter of our lives that involves new friends, new opportunities, independence from our parents, maybe a little bit of partying, and overall, it's a new beginning for us. But college also brings a lot of stresses, such as academic pressure, societal expectations, and a struggle to balance it all, which in turn can take a serious toll on mental health. In fact, according to an article from the American Psychological Association and the Healthy Mind Survey, 60% of college students met the criteria for at least one mental health problem, which is nearly a 50% increase from 2013. In today's podcast, I interviewed both a student and educational professional to help me explore this topic even further. Our first guest today being Hallie, a chemistry supplemental instructor or SI teacher here at UConn. To start, let's talk about the root cause for student stress. In an article from the NIH, it showed that 87% of college students cited education as their primary source of stress. Studies also show an increasing rate of anxiety and depression among students, with the GED Foundation reporting numbers like 36% of college students having anxiety and 30% having been diagnosed with depression. To dig deeper, I asked Hallie about her thoughts on the current stressors and common challenges students are facing today and how these compare to the past.
One of them would be grades, passing classes, the stress of having to take classes over in order to pass it for their major, especially with certain grade requirements for a major. And then definitely pressure from parents to obtain certain GPAs. What they would consider a good GPA versus like just passing the class like what you need to, and then definitely cost as well. I think that's a big stressor that are on students' mind, especially because all of these I believe have increased greatly over time. Like grades are expected to be better, classes are harder, college is a lot more expensive than it used to be, parents are harder.
This brings me to my next question. How has the competitive nature of academia contributed to students' poor mental health? Do you think this culture is avoidable? Hallie shared her thoughts on the demanding nature of academia and how she thinks it has contributed to students' mental health.
I would say that definitely some difficult parts of the competitive nature are sibling comparison, especially I know for me, I have a brother, and he's older by a couple of years, and he's also a nursing major, so we're always taking the same classes and comparing, who did better, who has a better GPA, who's on the honor roll, so I think that can definitely add stress, and then not as much here, but, in high school, class rank was always probably brought out more competitive in people, I need to be ahead, a number, I need to be lower, and I think that yes and no, that it's avoidable, because I think competition is kind of in people's nature. Mm-hmm. But I think that added pressure from parents, society, siblings, can be avoidable.
I also asked Hallie a follow-up question on her thoughts on how she believes students' mental health impacted their academic performance, and this was her response.
I think drastically, honestly. I think if you're struggling with mental health, you might not go to class, which impacts how well you're learning the concepts, and I think that your mind is always elsewhere, whether you're thinking about oh, I'm so tired, or oh, I'm upset about this, and I'm just drained, your mind being elsewhere takes away from the capacity you have to learn, and also when you're taking exams, it could cause you to forget what you're studying, or maybe you didn't even study much because you had a bad day. So I think it definitely has a very big impact on performance, so it's always a lose-lose situation. My first semester freshman year, I was struggling a lot with depression, actually. And I had 8 a.m. classes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for chemistry.
Yes, I feel like you're out of that right now.
Yeah, so it was so hard to wake up and go to that class. And especially Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I had an 8 a.m. and then right after I had a 9 a.m., right after I had 10 a.m. And it was like, I couldn't get myself to go to the 8 a.m. and then I couldn't get myself to the 9, I couldn't get myself to the 10. So I missed 3 of my 3 classes in the day just because I was too drained to get out of bed. Even if I went to bed at 8 p.m. the night before, it wouldn't matter. I was just not, I feel like, not very motivated to actually go.
Talking to Hallie about the struggles students face raised an important question on whether schools and teachers are doing enough to support students. While universities often provide resources like counseling services and stress relief events, there is a debate whether these efforts are sufficient. In a research survey conducted by Best Colleges, they reported that 81% of students they surveyed were aware that their school provided mental health services, but less than half, only 40%, think that their school is doing enough to support student mental health. Hallie shared her perspective on what roles teachers and schools should play when it comes to student mental health.
I think it depends on the teacher. I think I specifically have this one teacher, my nursing professor, and we had a situation during class where someone actually had a seizure. So it was a very scary experience. A lot of people got a little emotional, I got upset about it because it was scary out of nowhere in a 9 a.m. class. And my professor like emailed us all that night and was like, if any of you want to talk about what happened, need any help. And then she like gave us like the SHA resource, the mental health resource. So she really like made it a point to like tell us like there are resources if you want to talk, if you need help. She made herself one. And then the next class, she brought it up in the beginning of class. She was like, does anyone have any questions? Want to come talk to me. So I feel like some teachers like that are very good. My sociology teacher, she, if you're like attendance is mandatory, but if you're like, I'm having a really hard day, like I can't get up for this class, then she's like, I totally understand, we did this, you won't get any points for nothing. Like she gives you that mental health day if you need it. But I feel like, I don't know any from experience, but I think there are definitely teachers who, if you were like, oh, like, I can't get this homework done, like, in a really bad week, like, I'm going through some stuff, they would just be like, well, you've known the due date for weeks, so that's that. So I think there's some good and some bad, but I think everyone needs to be more educated on how they can help students.
When asked if universities are doing enough to promote or support students' mental health, Hallie's response was,
I think that they are very good at promoting it. I feel like a lot of students here, even new ones, know that there's a safe place in Shaw where you can talk to someone, and we actually have our own building that is dedicated to mental health. So the third floor of our one building, there's like a whole floor dedicated to mental health. You can see a therapist at any point, and you don't even have to go insurance. You can just pay like $15 and have a therapy session. So I think that's a good resource. I think a lot of teachers do a good job, especially in the nursing program, of making you aware of all those resources that you have. There's the dean of students. You can go to them at any point, any time, and just talk about anything, and they can help you. They can listen to you, anything like that. So I think there are good resources that they do tell you about to support students. And then I think we're falling short again is just maybe educating all of the teachers, like some of them that don't really understand, like we need mental health days. I think one struggle too here is that we have so little holidays off that we've been in school since Labor Day until Thanksgiving, where other schools are having Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Election Day.
As a follow-up question, I asked Hallie whether she thought there were any barriers or stigma that prevented students from utilizing these services.
I think there's always going to be like a small stigma in people's backgrounds, but I do like to think that it's gotten a lot better. I feel like it's a lot more known that like mental health is more common and it is serious and it's like not fake, it's not their fault. But because it was socialized for so long that it was like it made you weak, or it was like a bad look, or people were just begging for attention. Like, I feel like that's always going to be a thought in some people's head, especially like maybe like older people. But I do think it's gotten a lot better. Like, a lot of people are aware of mental health now. A lot of people, like, we have so many resources here that we can use if we need help. But I think it is also hard to ask for help, so I think that's also a big stigma.
To further explore this topic, I also asked Hallie some of the ways she believed universities can address students' mental health, and this was her response.
I think like some classes do this and some don't, but I think something that's very helpful to decrease stress is like posting the course schedule right in the beginning in the syllabus, and then keeping it updated as like the year goes on, because things get delayed, things get moving up. Because for me personally, I make like the first week of school, I make a big, like almost agenda of everything from every class for the entire semester. And I just think it's so much easier because it's by date. So you can like look at what you have the whole next week and like plan out when you're going to do what around your classes. So then you're less stressed about like realizing, oh, I have 4 assignments due tonight. Like, it just makes it a little bit easier. So I think it's good when they like teachers plan ahead so you like know what to expect for the year. And then I think that flexibility would be very helpful, just because in my opinion, I don't think grades are the best representation of whether a student is smart or understands the topic or not, because there's so many other factors that go into testing. So I think flexibility would be very helpful in that aspect. And then also, again, like if you're having a hard day, like your depression or anxiety is really getting to you, you might not get that homework assignment done. You might not get that project done. You might need an extra day so that you can put forth your best work and get the best grade you deserve. So I think that's also something that flexibility would be helpful for. Yeah, just I think educating the teachers about like when it's okay to give them like the extension that they may need, and when it's okay to like need a little bit of a mental health break, versus like when they're just trying to get an excuse because they were hanging out with their friends all night and didn't get their homework, and like how to like give them what they need but not give them too much, where it's just gonna like hurt them in the future with too much like flexibility almost. Yeah, I think that would probably be awesome. And then
next, Hallie shared her perspective on how she thought the culture around campus, like social expectations, demands for extracurricular activities, and dorm life, affected students' mental health.
So I think that there are pros and cons to all of it. I think something that is very big, that has a very big effect, is like roommate, who you end up with, if it's random, if it's someone you know. Just because there's the aspect of competition again, so if they have an easier major or harder major, you might compare yourself on how their grades are. Like, they might have an easier major but be getting all A pluses, and then you might have a very hard major and get like B's, which is all you need. So it's like you're still doing well, but you might look and be like, oh, their grades are so much better than mine. So I feel like that can be like stressful. And then like maybe if they're like very involved in all these like clubs and like volunteering, you might think like, wow, I'm slacking. So like that can really stress you out. So again, and then I feel like there's always those parent expectations. Like, you call your parents after a long day of school and you're like, no, what did you do today? And you're like, oh, I just went to class. Oh, you didn't go to any clubs, you didn't hang out with people. Like, the expectations that you need to have all the aspects of college life in order to successful. So I think that, and then again, the self-expectations of, oh, I don't hang out with people enough, I don't have enough friends, I'm not in enough extracurriculars, like, I need to do better, but I need to do go to my grade. Just like, yeah, like a lot of self-expectations are always one of the hardest.
Joining me next, I also spoke with Dr. Cassavant, who is a nursing professor here at UConn, to get their perspective on these issues. Here at UConn. Welcome, Dr. Cassavant. And before we start, is there anything else you would like the viewers to know about, you know, you or what your job entails?
So my job is kind of twofold. So I teach 2 to 3 classes a year, and then the rest of my time is spent doing research.
Okay, lovely. And so just to start, let's talk about the root causes for student stress. So according to an article from the NHI, it showed that 87% of college students cited education as their primary source of stress. So studies also show an increasing rate of anxiety and depression among students, with the GED Foundation reporting numbers like 36% of college students having anxiety and 30% having been diagnosed with depression. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on the current stressors. What are some challenges students face today, and how do these compare to the past? As I'm sure, you know, while you were students, you know, there was
differs. Yeah, so I think one of the challenges for students, especially incoming freshmen, is the inability to translate what got them through high school is not going to get them through college. And learning how to do time management, and especially when you're talking about a nursing curriculum, which is really, really rigorous. You know, you really need to find out early what works for you. How do you manage your time? I think just being, you know, in college to begin with is anxiety producing. It's the first time students are leaving home. Typically, you don't have your normal support system there. You have to develop one. You know, and I see on Reddit often, you know, there are students who are like, I'm just looking for a friend, you know. And it was really kind of heartwarming because I saw one of those last year, and people noticed that she had done a video. And people noticed her sweatshirt and realized where she went to school. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, I go to school there too. Yeah. So, you know, there are so many things that weigh on students' minds. You know, financial challenges with affording school. There's so many things. And all of that, the anxiety, all of that can lead to depression or vice versa. You know, the first time you get a bad grade, you know?
Like, I think that was definitely shocking.
Exactly. And I remember, you know, my first year as an undergrad, and it was like my first, I don't even know why I was taking calculus, but I was taking calculus, even though I was terrible at math. I was taking, because I was a physiology and neurobiology major at first. So I'm taking calc. I have no idea what I'm doing. I never took pre-calc, you know. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm paying this tutor, like, you know, $100 an hour to try to educate me, and it's not working. And, you know, we had our first exam, and I remember walking out of that exam, and it was a rainy day. It was fall, and it was rainy and cold. And I just remember sobbing, walking to my car, you know, because I knew I'd failed it. Mm. You know, so there are pressures, you know, about getting grades. But the other thing that I think it's important for students to recognize is that your midterm grade is not necessarily an indicator of what your final grade will be. You know, it's just where you are at that point. And sometimes, you know, there haven't been a lot of assignments or exams by the time midterms come around. Yeah. So you don't really, it's not an accurate portrayal of where you stand.
Awesome. And so my next question is, how has the competitive nature of academia contributed to students' poor mental health, or in turn their academic performance? And do you think this culture is avoidable?
I think that, you know, can you actually say that again? Somebody walked by and distracted me.
How has the competitive nature of academia contributed to students' poor mental health and in turn their academic performance? And do you think this culture is avoidable or something that should even be addressed?
So I think particularly in nursing school, there's a competitiveness. Most nurses are type A personality, and, you know, they're very competitive. What I will tell, and I was too when I was an undergrad, what I will tell you is that none of it matters once you graduate. As long as you graduate, that's it. And unless you're planning on going back to grad school, nobody will ever ask you what your GPA was in college.
I had a conversation actually with my aunt, right? Because she saw how I was like,
well, you know, you study so much, you know, why, like, it, at the end of the point, like, you're all going to have the same degree and mm-hmm. stuff. So it's best just to, like, you know, take care of your health and everything.
Absolutely.
I was like, yeah, like, I know that, but I can't get out of that mindset of, like, you know.
It's very difficult, you know, but my father-in-law would always say to me, you know what you call the doctor who got an F in his class? You call him doctor. You know?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't matter. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to be as good as or better than our peers, yeah. you know? And there's really no reason for it.
Right.
You know, you're all going to do similar things. And it doesn't matter whether you were number 3 in your class or number 33.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're still going to end up at the same spot. And it doesn't, you know, what your grades were doesn't necessarily indicate how well you're going to do on the NCLEX.
Yeah.
You know?
And as well, like, also how you'll do out in the work field. You know, exactly. Being a nurse, you know, those grades don't really define you.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there are other things, you know, we always face challenges in life, no matter what stage we're going through, you know, but it's important that in college that you find some sort of balance, because these are important years in your growth and development, and taking care of you is just as important as getting those good grades.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've also been trying to work on, just finding that balance between, like, you know, school and, mm-hmm. you know, my personal life and, you know, social life, going out there and, you know, just enjoying my time.
Yeah, and it's challenging. I mean, I find myself, you know, I typically work from home on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'll find it'll be like 2:30 in the afternoon. I haven't gotten up. I haven't had anything to eat. I typically have water with me, mm-hmm. but I haven't moved, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, you have got to make time for this, you know, you have to make time to go walk to the mailbox, you know, mm-hmm. do get out of the chair, you know, because I mean, I could spend all day working and there'll still be more work to do. So.
And then I kind of want to move our conversation more towards, you know, what can, I think, like, a lot of the time with students' mental health, like, people look at teachers or, like, the school, you know, what should their role be mm-hmm. in helping students with this? So, again, my next question is, are schools and teachers doing enough to support students' mental health? What specific role should teachers play when it comes to students' mental health and creating a supportive environment?
So I think it's different in every school and with every teacher. My personal belief is that it is my responsibility if I notice, you know, some changes in your grades or that you're not showing up to class anymore, to reach out to you and see if there's something going on that I can help you with before it turns into a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, some teachers believe that as well, some teachers don't. But I do think that having that sort of, you know, personal connection with students where they feel comfortable coming to me is really important. And I have had, you know, over the years, lots of students come to me, and some I've been able to help, some I haven't, you know. But if it's something I can't personally help them with, then at least I know there are resources that I can send them to where they can get the help they need. You know, but then again, it's also up to the student, you know, to take advantage of those resources, you know.
Right, because a lot of the times, you know, I mean, you have all of the resources, but they don't really go for it, or it's kind of hard for them in a way.
Well, it's hard to take that step,
yeah.
You know, to pick up the phone and, you know, I'm having a hard time, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's very challenging for anybody,
right.
Student or adult, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And then my next one is, you know, you may have an answer for this or not. So how are universities addressing, you know, promoting or supporting students' mental health? And are these services accessible? And how do barriers like stigma affect their use?
So I can't speak for other universities because mm-hmm. this is the only place I've ever worked. I have seen much greater emphasis placed on student success academically and emotionally and mentally over the last 3 years since the pandemic. And I think part of that came from, you know, the students who graduated and their first year at college was virtual.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing, you know, how much they struggled because they didn't have those last couple of years of normal high school.
Yeah.
And because of that, when they got to UConn, they were really challenged. As far as I felt like they were almost stunted, from a developmental perspective because they didn't have those typical experiences. Right. And I feel like there was a huge uptick in mental illness. Not, I feel like there was a huge yeah. uptick in mental illness because of the isolation, you know, because of the loneliness, because of the inability to get out and go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so since then, I have seen a much greater presence of people trying to ensure students can be successful and happy. You know, in the School of Nursing, we hired a director for student success. You know, because as our school is growing, we have more students. We have more students that need those assistance.
Yeah.
You know, those types of assisted. Interactions. And I also see it from a university perspective. So I sit on the board of honors directors, and we talk a lot about how can we help students, what is it that we can do. And I see, you know, with the mental health fairs that they do and just the general health fairs, I think that's super important. And those are just places to kind of, you know, just touch the surface of the water and know what's out there
yeah.
and where you can go. And it has been challenging for students. You know, this particular group of freshmen, to me, have been the most balanced that I've seen in a while, you know, because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But this particular group, I think, you know, had the opportunity to go to prom and yeah. have graduation yeah. and things like that.
Yeah.
So exactly. I definitely think that has made a difference. But I also believe that the university is definitely really going out of their way to try to make things better.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a student in a class who missed an exam, you know, because they were sick and had some stuff going on. And, you know, I tried to accommodate them, but there really wasn't anything I can do based on what my syllabus says yeah. and what the missed exam policy is. And they were encouraged to go to the Dean of Students,
yeah.
which, yeah, absolutely. Go to the Dean of Students, you know, put that pressure on that
yeah.
professor to make sure that there really isn't another way out,
yeah.
you know, because for some professors and in some situations there is a way out. So I think it's important to have the support of the Dean of Students, you know, trying to figure out a way to make it work for the student.
Right. And so I guess that also brings me to my next question. Do you think, or like, what curriculum adjustment or campus policies do you think can better address students' mental health? And are there current mental health policies that have been helpful? And do you think, you know, a more flexible approach could work in higher education?
So I'm always a big proponent for flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more flexible you're able to be, the better everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know specifically of mental health policies mm-hmm. that the university has, but I know that there are services available. And what was the other question you were asking?
I was asking, what curriculum adjustments or campus policies do you think can better address students' mental health? And then are there current mental health policies that have been helpful?
I think it would be really helpful, especially for incoming freshmen or transfer students,
mm-hmm.
to have a mentor, somebody right. who, you know, whether it's a student or, you know, a health professional, but somebody that can, probably a student would be better,
yeah.
that can walk them through the day-to-day and, you know, touch base, you know, once a week. How are you doing? You know, how are your classes
right.
going? How are you feeling? almost like a big brothers, big sisters program, just because I think everybody needs that when you're starting a new situation, right. You know?
And I am part of this scholarship program, and they give us like a mentor for a college mentor. And I thought that was like super helpful for me, because they would always call, you know, on Fridays and ask me, awesome. you know, what's been going on? How can I help you? Even just to like talk about like, you know, your day or your Absolutely. Week has been like super helpful, and they've given me great advice. And so I think that would be like really awesome. That should like, be every student can yes, get that. Yes,
exactly. So, exactly. I think that's awesome.
And then my next question is, how does, you know, culture around campus life, like social expectations, the demands for extracurricular activities and dorm life, affect students' mental health? You know, because I talked to this other student, and she was saying how, you know, coming into college, I mean, she, you know, she felt like she had to join every single club or, you know, volunteer here and, you know, get this job or this internship. And, you know, it was like a lot for her.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts are, taste everything, right. You know, check it out. If it's something you're interested, continue with it. Mm-hmm. If it's something you're like, oh, it's kind of cool, but it looks good on my resume. If you're not interested in it and you're only doing it because it'll look good on your resume, mm-hmm. that's not a good enough reason to do it.
Right.
You know, because it's not going to fill you up.
Yeah.
It's going to drain you. So, but I do believe that, you know, checking out everything that's out there, because you never know. I mean, support comes in the most surprising places. And you never know that until you do it.
Right.
You know, when I was an undergrad, I was taking a psychology course, and the professor had a lab where he worked with rats looking at hippocampal representations of the environment. So the hippocampus is where learning takes place. And so we would run these mice on a maze, and they would get rewarded at the end of the maze with, you know, a treat, but there would be spots that were, electrified. So, you know, it would be a thing of how long did it take the rat to remember that that spot is electrified and hop over it. And I never thought that would be something I would be interested in, but I thought it was the coolest thing ever, you know?
It sounds cool.
Yeah, and I just, I loved it. And I did it my first year as an undergrad, but then when I came back to grad school for my PhD, I ended up doing my dissertation with an animal model. You know, so you never know where you're going to find something that you're like, that's so cool,
right.
You know, so you have to kind of check everything out, but not in a way that it depletes you.
And then my last question here is, what are some effective strategies that you have seen or used to cope with, you know, academic pressures? And are there any educational And are there any that educational institutions can better promote? So,
say that again, the first part.
What effective strategies have you seen or used that you think would be, like, you know, beneficial for students to cope with academic pressure or, you know, mental health?
So I think the first thing is, like you talked about, you know, with the mentor that you were paired mm-hmm. with, having somebody that you can talk to about things, having somebody who can relate, I think those are the things that are really key. Having, you know, an advisor that you can come to and say, I'm really struggling with this, what should I do? Those are all critical to student success and students, you know, not just academically, but as humans, you know, to help you learn how to manage, you know, and juggle all of these things that you have going all at once and stay healthy.
Thank you, Kathleen, for sharing your thoughts and your insights.
My pleasure.
It was really nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
After talking with both Dr. Cassavant and Hallie, it's clear that college life impacts students' mental health and isn't solely based on academics, but a number of other issues that demand attention from both students and universities. For instance, social pressure,
financial challenges, and trying to balance it all can all contribute to the growing mental health crisis on campus. To go back to our original question, how has college life impacted students' mental health, and are universities doing enough to address this issue? There isn't a clear answer. While, again, universities have been making an effort by offering mental health resources such as counseling services, the rising demand had outpaced the fundings, which in turn led to a higher caseload. In fact, according to an article from the American Psychological Association, it cites that the number of students seeking help at campus counseling centers had increased up to almost 40%, leaving counselors to manage a caseload of up to 120 to 300 students per year. Psychologist Brett Schofield is an executive director of CCMH and points out that barriers like high caseload centers tend to provide less care to students and prevent students from getting the help they need. To address this issue, Dr. Cassavant brought up a good point during our conversation and suggested providing each student with a college mentor. As someone who has a mentor, I can say that having one can truly make a difference, offering guidance and emotional support as students try to navigate through the complexities of college life. But real progress will require more than relying on schools and teachers to change. It will require collaboration. Students, educators, and administrators all play a role in improving mental health. As we move forward, universities must provide accessibility and adopt policies that truly support students' well-being. Educators must create a supportive learning environment, and students must become advocates for their mental health. And as we wrap up this episode, I do want to remind everyone at home listening to prioritize your mental health, as well as educators and university board members, know that even small changes can make a big impact. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Engaging with Education. Next episode, Shane will be talking about how queer identity shapes the college experience. Until then, take care of yourself and see you next time.